And I welcome Matthew Shea, a former representative of Washington State. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and it's very good to be on.
We're honored to have you in our TV. How do people in America react to the attack on Ukraine?
Well, I think most people are completely against what Vladimir Putin is doing. But there's quite a bit of disinformation that is out there right now. That somehow Putin is attacking Nazis or something in Ukraine, which is just absolutely not true. And that's the way they've always tried to portray any sort of patriotism that comes against a communist or former communist strongman. Is they try to portray people as Nazis when in fact they're just people that love freedom and liberty. So what we're seeing right now on the ground in Ukraine is very clearly an unprovoked invasion. And what we are seeing is civilians being intentionally targeted in Kharkiv and in Kyiv particularly. We have dozens and dozens of video that has been confirmed on the ground that this is in fact the case. And mobile launch rocket systems specifically are being used to target those civilians. And it's absolutely reprehensible. And there's even some people out there that are trying to say that Vladimir Putin is somehow Christian, but no Christian would ever intentionally target civilians or, for that matter, invade a foreign country unprovoked.
Your wife is Ukrainian. Do you have any information from her family or her friends in Ukraine?
Well, we do. We have family and friends in Kyiv, Kharkiv, and other towns as well. And what we're hearing on the ground right now is that the Ukrainians are putting up a very, very stiff resistance and have, in many cases, held their positions against the Russian invasion, particularly in the northeast of Ukraine and also north of Kyiv, and also in the east as well. So we're hearing that from them on the ground, and we're also hearing that there, obviously have been civilian casualties, in some cases heavy civilian casualties from the Russian invasion.
How did they react at the first time of the attack?
I think many people were caught by surprise because they didn't think that this would ever happen in Europe again. Despite the warnings of myself and many others that Vladimir Putin was very clear in his speeches in 2005, 2013, and then an article he actually wrote last July, 2021, where he very specifically said that he was going to, quote, annex his neighbors, he was going to expand the Russian Empire, and that he was using the justification that they all shared the same common language, the same common culture, the same common heritage, when in fact that just, A, wasn't the case, and B, people didn't want to be under Russian rule. And so what we're seeing now is Taiwan using very similar language just the other day, saying that historically and legally Taiwan has been a part of China. So we're seeing China use this exact same language in regards to Taiwan. And we very likely will see some sort of action against Taiwan here in the very near future because they view the current American administration as very weak.
So what is your assessment? Is it a prelude to a larger expansion, maybe a first blow in a third world war?
Well, I mean, obviously, this is the first step. This is not where Putin is going to end. I think very rightfully, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, Hungary are very concerned about this, rightfully, that Putin will expand even further to create his buffer against the West, as he tries to call it. But yes, I think this is a very first step in what has already actually been a war. Fourth generation warfare in the trade field, in cyber, in finances, has already been occurring against the United States and Western and Eastern Europe for the last decade. So the idea that we're not already in a fight is kind of ridiculous. We are. And this is a first shooting war step. And I think that Taiwan is going to exploit this. I think other countries like Iran and maybe even Turkey and the Muslim Brotherhood in Turkey are going to exploit this because, again, they view the West and they view the administration in Washington, D.C. and the United States as weak.
how American politicians respond to this Russian attack?
I think every one of them denounced the Russian attack. I think many people are encouraged that Ukrainians particularly are fighting right now on the ground, and they're fighting for their freedom and liberty, and they have a right to fight for their freedom and liberty. They have a right to defend themselves. And as the Polish people very well know, Russia doesn't usually like to stay within its borders. And there is a long history in Poland going back to Jan Sobieski, where the Polish people sometimes have to actually be the vanguard to defend Europe against the incursions of the communists. And so what we know right now is the best option for everyone in that area of the world is to begin arming themselves privately. So in other words, every one of their citizens have the right to bear arms and should arm themselves if their countries so allow. And I know Poland does allow that. Here in the United States, we call this the Second Amendment, that people should be armed privately, because that's one of the greatest deterrence factors to foreign aggression, and particularly aggression from Russia.
What do you think about Joe Biden's and his administration response?
It's been pathetically weak. I think that this has emboldened our enemies and the enemies of Christendom and Western civilization. And what we see right now, again, is China very likely about to take advantage of this and take an action against Taiwan. We see Iran right now arming up and again, saber-rattling, and we see the Muslim Brotherhood in Turkey saber-rattling. So this is destabilizing the entire world because of weak leadership out of Washington, D.C., and I do not believe that this would have happened if Trump was in office.
Germany and some other countries don't want to suspend Russia from the SWIFT system, global interbank system, saying it would be technically difficult and would have a massive impact on transactions for Germany and German businesses in Russia. What do you think about that?
Well, what's already happening in Ukraine is going to have a dramatic impact on businesses in Europe and businesses in the United States. Russia and Ukraine together make up 29% of the world's wheat exports. You have palladium, which Russia manufactures just under half, which is very integral to the making and manufacture of complex microchips. So you have some very big impacts economically already ready to happen. And if Russia is not going to listen to sanctions, which clearly they have not, harsher sanctions they very likely are not going to listen to. So maybe it is time to discuss removing them from SWIFT. And even if it is technically difficult to do, is that not worth it to prevent further aggression by Russia and to defend Western civilization?
What else can the Western civilization and the states do to stop Putin and China?
I think that number one on the table has become energy independent to the extent possible. Poland has gas reserves. Some of the largest gas reserves in the world are between Ukraine and Poland. I think that gas reserves need to be tapped into, and I think that every country in Europe and also the United States, we were energy independent under the Trump administration. We need to go back to energy independence. And if that means removing some of the greenhouse gas regulations, so be it. It's worth the freedom to do these things. I think the other thing is we need to become less dependent on China for rare earth minerals. The United States in particular used to manufacture most of the world's rare earth minerals. We need to do that again. When the United States is strong, we see peace in the world. When the United States is strong, we see other countries not doing the things we're seeing Russia do right now. We're seeing stability. So I think, again, in the West right now, becoming as independent as possible, bringing manufacturing back to the West, bringing it back to the United States, we're not so dependent on China, not so dependent on Russia, it has to be one of the first orders of business. But I want to talk something above that. I want to talk spiritually. The West needs to return to the fundamental values that have made us great, that come from Jesus Christ, come from the scriptures. We need to return to our heritage. We need to return to a truly saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, where we exalt Jesus Christ and we are not afraid to talk about him in the public sphere, and we return to those values. If we do that, there will be no question that the West will survive for another 100 years.
Pastor Paweł Chojecki said that the biggest strength of the West is Christianity, Christian ideas, principles, and that United States kind of and the whole West kind of forgot about it. Do you agree?
I completely agree. The United States was actually founded on Judeo-Christian principles. The very first documents, even before we were a country, very clearly say that they dedicated this land to Jesus Christ. In fact, the Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies, the first document uniting all the colonies together over 100 years before the Declaration of Independence, very specifically said that the purpose of everyone coming here was to expand the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity, with peace. And so our history here, our heritage in the West, is one based on the fundamental truths of Jesus Christ and the fundamental truth of Jesus Christ as the truth in a person.
Pastor Paweł Chojecki also said that what everyone can do, because not everyone can defend Ukraine himself, but everyone can, for example, share the gospel, especially with Russian and Chinese people now.
Yes, we can not only pray for Ukraine, but we need to go out and we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we possibly can. And that is, again, a great strength. We can share it with the Chinese people that are here in our own countries, with the Russian people that are in our own countries here, and get away from some of the ideas that have been espoused in the Orthodox Church under the control of the KGB in Russia, that somehow there needs to be this hierarchy and structure that crushes the spirit of Jesus Christ. That's not the way that he operates. We just need to spread the gospel, internalize it, and make Jesus Christ at the center of our countries again. And if we do that, if we make Jesus Christ at the center of ourselves, he will be at the center of our countries. He will be at the center of Western civilization. And what comes from that is blessing upon blessing upon blessing, and we go from glory to glory to glory.
Thank you very much, Matt Shea, former representative of the state of Washington. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on. Blessings to you guys.
If you like what we are doing and if you want to see our next programs in the future, please consider supporting us financially. Our TV is funded only by our viewers, and it means a lot to us to see how many people are willing to show us their support this way. Every month we try to have at least 1,000 people supporting us, even with small amounts of money. As of today, we have registered 785 donations this month. Thank you.